within the agreement. The escape clause is written into it. So no actual Russian officials are going to be harmed in all of this, other than these two guys who were in the FSB, who are probably currently having their names changed and being shipped off to some European country where they'll never be found.
Isn't it crazy to think about two men were responsible for having 500 million accounts hacked and obtaining the information?
As I've said many, many times over the last few weeks, steal little, don't steal big. And these guys stole really big.
Where do you think these are coming from, the orders?
I don't think...
I mean, are these, you know, on their own?
You know, we had China get into the State Department's personnel files a few years back. I was actually impacted by that hack. And they stole Social Security numbers and names and addresses and all sorts of for a lot of people, millions of people. And the belief at the time was that they were trying to figure out how to create fake identities for their agents to more easily infiltrate the United States. At some level in Russia, this may start out the same way, where somebody says, go get me a bunch of information about Americans so that we can come up with some new fake passports and things like that. And then these two yahoos get their hands on it, and they're like, well, wait a minute.
No pun intended.
We got this guy who says he can get into Yahoo and get everybody's information. What's that worth if we sell it? So they're kind of following orders, and they're kind of off doing their own thing.
I think automatically everybody hears Russia, and they say, it's Putin, when in reality, it's essentially Putin's all the way at the top. There are so many people under him that have inner workings and deals that are going on that he doesn't, he knows everything, but
here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't say this to absolve senior members of the FSB and senior members of the Russian government from responsibility. But I do say this because Russia is a sovereign nation that has multiple revenue sources and probably does not need to go on the internet and steal people's IDs and sell them on the dark net to make money. Because ultimately, you're talking about something that, under the best scenario, might be worth $1 million. And no intelligence agency is going to risk exposure for $1 million.
Of course.
So I think you do have a couple of guys who are off the reservation here. The fact that they are linked to the FSB lets the government dance around and say, look, state-sponsored hacking, state-sponsored hacking. It's really not. Okay, somebody said go get some information. These clowns hire these other two clowns. The other two clowns somehow managed to get everything because they hired the right guys and because Yahoo has the worst security on the planet. And now the Russians are sitting there and they're like, oh, let's sell it. That's pretty much what happened here. So while this is a big noise story and a big, look, Russia is our enemy story, the reality of this is not any kind of a state operation. Not at all. Even if the intention had been to get all of that user information, the intention was never to turn around and sell it. China didn't do that.
Well, especially from the state.
Because China...
I mean, they would get caught.
Yeah, because China knows better. China would rather have that information and use it to either figure out Social Security sequences or whatever they want to do with it. Russia's the same thing. It's like, what are the common passwords people use? What, you know, what? How many Social Security numbers can we get? How many phone numbers can we get? Because if you sift through enough of that stuff, you might find two or three that you can use to put an agent in play. That's really what it's all about. We do the same thing, by the way. Not to disappoint anybody. However, when we do it, we are not hiring hackers.
Russian hackers.
Yeah, and this guy Beslov really, really needs to be brought to justice, I think, because this is the third time in 2 years that he has been indicted for breaking into U.S. sites, and somebody really needs to just pay him a visit and get him working on our side instead of against our side. The American people will be much happier.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Will someone please call Canada and tell them to come get their weather back? We're sick of it being in our yard.
Yeah, I thought it was spring.
It's going to be spring in a week.
More snow?
It's not going to feel like it. Is that what you're going to tell me? But it's not going to feel like it. Hey, how about low temperatures in the teens tonight, kids? Boy, with winds of 22 miles an hour, you know what that means. It's going to feel like zero out there. Tomorrow, boy, not much better. Highs in the mid-30s. Lows again in the teens tomorrow night. Friday, sunny. We'll get into the upper 30s. Might be some actual melting. And then we fall back into the 20s so that everything will be nice and icy. St. Patrick's Day night for your buzzed drive home from the bar. Basically means don't drive home buzzed from the bar.
Yeah.
Because there will be ice. Saturday, snow. Could be a couple of inches. Highs in the mid-30s. Lows around freezing Saturday night. Sunday, snow. We'll be leaving. But again, could be a couple of inches, maybe more. We'll find out. They're calling it a small nor'easter. This is cute. It's a cute little nor'easter.
It's a tiny little baby nor'easter.
Highs in the mid-30s, lows in the mid-20s, and then by Monday, temperatures moderate into the mid-40s, and things are a little bit more seasonal. But make no mistake, the snow is going to be around for a little bit longer.
Hey, at least it's not going to be like last year until July. Or 2 years. That was 2 years ago.
855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is WMFO Medford. And when we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
This is Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with a few suggestions on handling frozen meat. If you buy meat that is already frozen, be sure to place it in your freezer as soon as you get home. If you can't go directly home with your purchase, the packages can be wrapped in newspaper, for example, to prevent thawing. While freezer storage is a convenient way to keep meat, be sure you check the recommended storage time for each type of meat and date the packages so you'll know which to use first. If stored too long, meat will begin to lose its flavor, but it will still be wholesome. It's best to thaw meat in the refrigerator. If you don't use the meat once it's thawed, you can safely refreeze it as long as it remains in good condition. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. Of course, it's time for Did You Hear, the part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other on all those other news stories from this week by giving each other one or two words, and we get to guess what the story's about. As always, I will start.
Are all these stories about snow? Because that's the only thing I've heard about.
Snow. There was
for the last 3 days.
There was hardly any news yesterday.
Snow. It's the snow. Here comes the snow. Let's talk about the snow. And it's like, oh my God, stop.
All right. I'm going to give you Remington Rifle.
They make the guns.
That is true.
Right? Is that the people that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Remington. Are they the ones that reported their sales have been down since Donald Trump came into office?
No.
Because I heard there was a big drop-off in gun sales.
Now, really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, gun sales, yeah, the gun business has been bad since Trump came into office. Because
that could be why Smith & Wesson is changing their name.
It's because, no, they're doing the last refuge of a scoundrel. Mm-hmm. It's because liberals don't buy guns. Remington, I got no idea.
This actually came out yesterday. And it is a 9-state attorney general's, a federal judge has given the final approval to this landmark class action settlement. It involves 7.9 million allegedly defective Remington guns.
What?
So, yeah, huge class action lawsuit. Where upwards of $12.5 million is what they're going to be paying out and then distributed amongst the gun owners. So, all the gun owners get some money.
Do they not kill people when you pull the trigger? Is that what's wrong with like how are the guns defective? I am confused. What do we got here? That's not Ezekiel Elliott.
Why do I know that name?
He's the running back for the Dallas Cowboys.
So he must have did something wrong.
This was a big Monday story. This was a very big, this crossed all, it was news, it was sports, entertainment, it was everywhere.
I don't know.
Zeke got himself in trouble over the weekend. He was at a St. Patrick's Day parade where he pulled a woman's top down while the cameras were on him.
Oh, oops.
Zeke says it's all good. They're friends.
Are they?
And she was partying with him for the rest of the day. So, yeah. Just a reminder to Ezekiel Elliott that Mardi Gras was on Tuesday, and you're a little bit late.
Michael Brown,
there is a new documentary out. Are we talking about that, or are we talking about the deposition discovery?
The video.
There is a new video out that apparently a documentary has come out about Michael Brown that shows him talking with different employees at the convenience store that he allegedly robbed, in which he shows them a bag full of some sort of substance that they smell and seem to approve of, and in exchange they give him a box full of cigarillos. He is then about to walk out the door of the store when he turns around and gives everything back, including the bag. Something's up there.
Yeah, this is video footage that we've never seen before. So, of course, it's, the whole Black Lives Matter, and those people are talking again.
Yeah. The bigger story came out today because parts of the discovery with the officer involved were released. And apparently, he was not threatened by Michael Brown. Apparently, he drove up to Michael Brown and grabbed him. And Michael Brown either pushed him off or, when he tried to get out of the car, pushed the door closed. At which point, the officer pulled out his gun and fired from inside his cruiser. Because we talked about that aspect of this. Michael Brown did not try to grab the officer's gun. None of that happened. And this is another one where we talked about this at great length.
Mm-hmm.
And we defended this officer at great length because there was that one compelling piece of evidence, which is the fact that he shot from inside his car.
You never shoot inside.
You never shoot
anybody
inside a car.
Anybody that's ever shot a gun.
You never shoot a gun indoors. You certainly don't shoot a gun in the close confines of an automobile. Turns out this guy just is not functional. And got away with murdering a kid in cold blood. So that's where, if you're in this business long enough, you find yourself having to reevaluate your positions from time to time. And in the case of Michael Brown, yes, we have to reevaluate our position. I can't think of a time that we've been this wrong since the Duke rugby hooker scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced me to go back and reevaluate how we would cover those stories, whether we would cover those kinds of stories. In the case of the Michael Brown shooting, it's a story that we had to cover. We're dealing with the same information that everybody else has, and you try and process it to the best of your ability.
And understanding what are essentially facts, air quotes, that you think Correct. At the time, because there were so many things that confirmed these facts.
And one of the things that we did say is that if this officer was so concerned about this situation, that he should have called for backup.
Mm-hmm.
And that the mistake that was made in this case was that he did not call for backup. That still stands. But everything else, all of this narrative about Michael Brown grabbing for the gun and touching the officer and hitting the officer and the officer felt threatened, it seems to be the product of an active imagination. So, have to withdraw our support for the officer. Not good. Hate when we get burned on those things. And certainly, you hate to see what happened to Michael Brown in that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a bad cop. That's what it comes down to. This is a bad cop.
And there are bad cops. Yeah. Are all of cops bad? No. Absolutely not.
Not at all. This is that one guy that's out there, I'm going to be super cop, and doesn't know what he's doing, and a kid dies. And people should be angry about that. Burning down neighborhoods and shutting down highways angry? No. Demanding change angry? Absolutely. Wayne Tracker. This was the biggest story yesterday.
There was no news yesterday.
Oh, there was.
Wayne Tracker.
This actually broke late on Monday.
I don't know.
It was all over the place. That's the fake name Secretary of State Rex Tillerson used while he was chairman of Exxon Corporation to send emails about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's in those emails. We just know that the Wayne Tracker email was used to send emails about climate change. Exxon is accused of misleading the American public about climate change. Climate change is not proven. So why is the United States government accusing a corporation of lying to the public about something that isn't proven? It's sort of like saying...
That's your agenda.
It's sort of like saying the sky is red. And the government's like, okay, the sky is red. Everybody's going to say the sky is red. And then we turn around and say, no, it's not. And then the government comes and sues you. This is why people like me, who applaud the goals of reducing carbon emissions, having a cleaner environment, support the ends, but not the means when it comes to climate change. Because Exxon is involved in who knows how many millions of dollars they're spending. Who knows how many millions of dollars of taxpayer money are being wasted on this. But we found Rex Tillerson's secret email. Far less exciting than Carlos Danger.
Great Barrier Reef.
There was another massive coral bleaching, second year in a row, that is, and this is caused by high water temperature, causes the plankton that the coral feed on to disappear. They either die off or they move to cooler waters. And so the coral, rather than just sort of hunkering down and waiting for the food to come back, commits suicide.
Mm-hmm. And while some areas are expected to regain their normal color with the temperatures hoping to drop soon, other parts, it's completely mortality. They're dead.
Zika,
the CDC has expanded their... reach in southern Florida for Zika. And also in Florida, I heard today that they are telling men not to donate sperm.
They're also telling women not to use that donated sperm because it may have the Zika virus in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not testing for it when they're taking sperm.
You get, I think the broader issue is that they weren't testing for it before.
Mm-hmm.
So now all this sperm is sitting around, and apparently, usually when you donate it, they freeze it. Apparently it didn't kill the virus. Oops.
We vibe.
What?
We vibe. Should I say we vibe vibrators?
Oh, those are the folks that were collecting information. I don't know what kind of information you're collecting. Mm-hmm. They're a Canadian company that made internet-connected vibrators, because that's a good idea.
Yeah, Bluetooth activated.
And they were collecting information on what their users were doing, and they are now paying up to $10,000 per person who bought one of these things.
Yeah, it's a $3.75 million class action lawsuit. So it is Bluetooth enabled, and the vibrators are linked to an app called WeConnect. It can be controlled on your smartphone and allow users to vary rhythms, patterns to your desired settings. And it also gives the partner, whether they're in the room or not, the ability to...
I think that was the appeal of it, is that, you know, somebody...
Your husband, when he's on business, I'm sure he's not worrying about how fast your vibrator is going for you.
Yeah, somebody you know, 5,000 miles away can make your rabbit perk its ears up. And, you know, I think this is we talk about women's equality and ways that women and men can be equal. Men have been able to make a living off of masturbation for many, many years now through sperm donations. Now women are getting paid $10,000 for masturbating. So that is...
There's your women's equality.
That is a step toward equality. It's too bad it's just a one-time payment.
Yeah.
I am a bad, bad man. I understand. Interest rates.
Interest rates were halted once again for the millionth time. They did rise.
By how much?
0.002
The Federal Reserve raised the overnight lending rate by a quarter of a percentage point today. This is their third raise in the last 2 years. They're planning two more before the end of the year. That is good news if you like a healthy economy, because this is a sign that the economy is doing well enough that we can actually raise interest rates again. That is bad news if you are buying a house, because your mortgage rates are going to go up. Interest rates on everything go up, but if you're getting a mortgage, you're going to feel that more than if you're buying a car.
Yoga pants and sweats. Specifically yoga pants.
Does this involve the Lululemon people again?
No, it does not.
Has somebody made yoga?
Or I could say microfibers. I'll say microfibers. Some articles were... I'm saying it was actually a big story today.
Oh God, I saw something about this. Was it that they make you sweat more, or they retain this, or
nope.
People aren't washing. I forget. I know I saw
comfortable
something about this.
Clothes specifically. And this was the headline: yoga pants making the environment bad. But these comfortable clothes, which include these microfibers,
oh, that was it.
They are the source of plastic that has been found increasingly more and more every single year. That's in oceans, streams. That has also been found to contaminate seafood. So not only are we dealing with problems in the tides and seafood, these plastics are getting in there because they eat it. And the microfibers, they have, yeah.
So the next time you have seafood, remember that you're eating somebody's sweaty yoga pants. Wonderful. Yum. Cheerios.
Oh, I know I read something. Is there a recall?
No. Why would you recall Cheerios?
I don't know. Are they? They're changing something.
There's nuts in them. No.
They're making them like healthier, made them gluten free.
No, they're still Cheerios.
I don't know.
Cheerios will send you free wildflower seeds if you sign up at Cheerios.com. Bring back the bees.
That's why Cheerios' mascot is a bee. That was the
yes.
Going.
Through a partnership with Vessi Seeds, they're calling attention to the decline in honeybee populations and encouraging people to plant wildflowers that attract bees. So if you go to Cheerios.com/bringbackthebees, you'll get free wildflower seeds. All you got to do is give them your name and, you know, agree that Cheerios can send you coupons for Cheerios, which you may or may not want. But you're getting some free wildflower seeds. It's a good time of year for it. Got that bare patch in your backyard. You can throw some seeds in there.
Hmm.
Not a bad deal. Is that, that's it?
That's it. Yeah, yeah. That's five.
You got 2 points on the Zika because you got both stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a win. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. When we come back... We do not have Donald Trump's tax returns, but we did read the CBO report on the healthcare overhaul. Some of it is good, some of it is bad. We'll get to the bottom of it in just a couple of minutes right here on WMFO Medford.
It's white and it's fluffy and it's falling everywhere. It's sailing. Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh. Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night, and we are The Big Picture. That was a great introduction to what we are going to be discussing. And
women's hockey?
Our women's hockey fight. No, of course, the big news that came out this week, the Congressional Budget Office, and everybody's probably scratching their head and saying, wait, what? What do? They do something, they give their opinion and analyze some numbers. Well, it's this just released, hot off the presses, highly anticipated from everybody in Washington, basically analyze the possible effects of, as it's now known, the American Health Care Act.
Yes.
Formerly known as Obamacare.
It should be called the Un-American Health Care Act. No, this was never formally known as Obamacare. This is a Republican
plan.
Yeah. This is the new thing.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to replace the old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Well, according to the CBO, the verdict is a doozy. According to them, 24 million fewer Americans would have health care insurance by 2026. And that is according to the Congressional Budget Office. Also, 14 million of them would be losing coverage in 2018. And yes, the report also says that the GOP's healthcare plan would save the government $337 billion within a decade. It underlines a potentially contradiction to what President Trump has really vocalized on insurance for everybody.
Well, yes and no.
To a point.
Yes and no.
This is what the CBO wants you to say.
Well,
from the outgo of it.
No,
just from the basic numbers that are being reported.
No ill will toward the CBO, because they're nonpartisan. They're the Congressional Budget Office, for those who don't know.
People good with the numbers and analysts.
They used to be known as a General Accounting Office. And basically, this is where all of your actuaries and all of your accountants and all of your economists who are hired by the federal government hang out. And when legislation is proposed, they evaluate the economic impacts of it based on what they understand and based on what is likely to happen. And these are all estimates, okay? A couple of the things that they say, and you've got all the headline numbers in there, Lisa. $337 billion comes off the deficit by 2026. That's not bad. But we have 52 million people without health care that same year. That's 24 million more than we would have under Obamacare. So where do they get this from? Well, 14 million people who currently have coverage would not have it by the end of next year for two reasons. Number one, some of them would be kicked off of Medicare rolls. In fact, the majority of them would be kicked off of Medicare rolls. Number two, young, healthy people who don't think you should spend $12,000 a year for a doctor's office visit, where you still have a $10 copay, by the way, would stop buying insurance because the individual mandate would be gone. So that's where we lose that 14 million. People, young, healthy Americans who are smart enough to look at this system and say, this is nonsense. I'm not paying $12,000 for physical. Which, if you're a young, healthy American and you only go and see your doctor once a year for your annual physical and you're paying around $1,000 a month for your health care, that's what you're paying.
You're going to take the hit once a year and pay for your physical, make sure everything's good.
Let that sink in for a second, that you are paying $12,000 a year for physical. I don't think that's a $12,000 product.
And you know what the crazy thing is? Even people with insurance sometimes don't go.
Now, I have insurance. I don't want to know. Now, you're not really paying $12,000 a year for physical. You're paying toward your future medical expenses, which are going to be way more than $12,000. But people don't look at it that way. They don't understand that. When you ask, it's like asking people to save for retirement. They're like, oh, I'll do that later.
No, I don't need it now.
I'll do that when I need it. They're 55. They're like, oh my God, I didn't save for retirement. And so they got to throw $40,000 a year into their retirement account so they can at least have something when they retire. Plus, they got to work until they're 80. The way the system is set up right now, if you are young and healthy, even with the individual mandate, you're better off taking the penalty and going and seeing your doctor once a year than signing up for health insurance. Mm-hmm. You're going to come out ahead. You're ripping off everybody else, but you're going to come out ahead. And if you're young and you don't have any money, that's probably what matters to you.
It's a no-brainer.
The individual mandate was a bad idea. And it's still a bad idea because basically what it does is it forces a product that is too expensive on people who don't need it. And whenever you hit somebody with a big ticket purchase, they're like, well, do I need this? Young Americans are going to look at that and they're going to say no. So you got to have the individual mandate. Otherwise, the young people don't buy in. Now, there's another provision in here that exists specifically to defund Planned Parenthood for a year. Only for the year after this goes into, only for 1 year, not permanently, but for 1 year. And based on that, they lay out several different criteria by which an organization that provides abortions would be defunded. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the criteria, the only organization in the country that meets them is Planned Parenthood. So that's stupid. That needs to go. Is it all bad? Well, if you're older, this is one of the things in here I don't like. Under Obamacare, insurance companies can only charge the elderly three times what they charge young, healthy people. Under the Republican plan, they can charge the elderly five times what they charge young, healthy people. So if you're over 65 and you actually need health care, and maybe you're on a fixed income because you retired, guess what? Here's some ballooning insurance premiums that you can't afford. Mm-hmm. Have fun with that. But there are some good things in all of this, according to their estimates. Even though average premiums are going to go up over the next 4 years, after that, they start to go down. Premiums rise 15 to 20% in 2018 and 2019. In 2020, they stabilize, and then they start going the opposite direction. By 2026, if you are a single policyholder in the non-group market, which means you're buying your own private insurance, premiums are 10% lower than they would be under Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. No, that was something that was clearly stated. But now with the premiums being on the rise.
But hang on a second. That's 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes up in price, doesn't it?
Inflation.
Everything goes up 10% less than you're paying now. So that actually works. There's another sort of poison pill in here that says plans would not have to cover 60% of your covered benefits, which means you're paying more out of pocket. So what Donald Trump has come up with, because he comes into office and he's like, you're going to pay less. Everybody's gonna mm-hmm. get insurance. By the broadest measurement of those statements, this plan does that.
But essentially, you have Republicans
that
are saying this is not what you promised us. This is not what was supposed to happen.
By the broadest...
And I mean, you are holding on with, you know, just in the edges.
By the broadest possible definition of what he said, that premiums are going to be lower and everybody's going to have insurance. Everybody can have insurance. You're not required to, but everybody can.
But you really think this is how that was supposed to work out?
And the premiums are going to be lower.
Or is it just how you're looking at it?
Do we...
Because in the reality is, you're going to, yes, have premiums on the rise. You are going to have people without insurance, regardless of why they choose not to be insured. You also will have companies that will not be able to hold up all these sick patients.
Sure.
You will have personal costs go up, as you said. Insurance companies aren't going to be paying the 75%, 80%. You are now going to have to do the difference of the 60%. So now you're paying 40% out of pocket.
If I had to find two things in this legislation that I absolutely hate, that I think are terrible ideas, and I have to wonder how this ever winds up in a piece of legislation unless the insurance industry is sitting there writing it. Number one is charging seniors 5 times more than younger people. They shouldn't even be charging 3 times more, okay? That is something that I have to believe insurance industry lobbyists got stuck in this legislation
mm-hmm.
because that benefits the insurance industry. And then the other one is removing the requirement that they cover 60% of benefits so that they can pay less out.
But to me, all of this is benefiting the insurance companies.
It is.
And for so many shows and times and conversations that we've had, we say, what is going on in Washington? And I understand that there's a lot of money going in and out of Washington that's coming from the insurance companies and that are coming from lobbyists.
You just explained what's going on in Washington. That's it.
I understand.
That's it.
But at what point, and this isn't something that's been hush-hush, Obamacare and changing the health care, you have people that voted for you, maybe solely just based on health care and what you would do with it. And understanding what we did have as Obamacare stunk. Nobody can actually afford it.
Here is a bigger question.
What is going on? Just because it's proven that deficits will go down?
Well, that's one of the goals here, certainly, is to reduce the amount of money that the federal government is kicking in on healthcare. Because it's unsustainable, mm-hmm. the way that these prices...
They're saying after nine years, through this report, that $337 billion will be reduced in the deficit.
And that's a lot of money.
It is.
That's more than $250 billion that you're taking off of the federal deficit. That's huge. That's real money. The problem is, we can't throw our seniors under the bus, and we can't throw working families under the bus to get there. Okay? Saving that money is not worth people dying from preventable or curable mm-hmm. illnesses.
But you're making it seem that like one group is benefiting from something where it's not. Everybody is in the same boat.
Yeah, well, there's...
Where it's you have elderly people that are...
There's one group benefiting from this, the insurance industry.
Yes, I'm saying for the people that are paying for insurance or on the other side of it. Of course, insurance companies have always been on the benefit. It's always been about them. That's what so much of the legislation has been about, and these fixes and changes, and nothing ever changes with the insurance companies. But across the board, whether you're young, old, married, you know, dating, so it doesn't matter. Everybody's in the same boat that it's bad.
here's our central problem. And this is, rather than arguing about the finer points of what's in this bill and what it will do down the road and the rest of that, we have to first understand that the high cost of healthcare in this country is driven by the insurance industry. And I've laid that out. Talked about the game that's played between what gets paid out and what hospitals have to charge to break even. Because the providers aren't making money on this anymore. That used to be the case. The providers were making a lot of money, and now the insurance companies are making all the money. And the providers are, if you're a neurosurgeon, you're still getting paid. But there's a reason why healthcare is migrating from a doctor's office and a hospital setting to your local CVS. And part of the reason is nobody wants to be a general practitioner anymore. Because there's too many rules, there's too many regulations, your malpractice insurance costs are too high, and you don't get paid anything anymore.
That's why you're seeing in some of the major hospitals here, especially in Boston, with these high-end surgeons, they are contracting. Because they don't have to stand to the rules of each of the hospitals, to each of the insurance.
Right.
And they still get paid for the work that they do.
So the problem that we have with healthcare and the cost of healthcare and the quality of healthcare in this country is caused by the insurance industry. Why do we think we can fix a problem caused by the insurance industry with more insurance? Why do we think we can fix this problem by letting the insurance industry into the room to write the legislation? The insurance industry should not be within a million miles of this. They should be sitting out in the hall praying that they still have an industry by the time Congress is done with them. But Congress is so drunk on insurance industry dollars that they're going to sit there and give the insurance industry everything they want. As long as that continues to be the case, the Americans are going to get a raw deal. Doesn't matter if we're talking about Barack Obama. Doesn't matter if we're talking about Donald Trump. Obamacare was a terrible idea. Romney Care was a terrible idea. This bill is a terrible idea. Does it very broadly keep the promises that Donald Trump meant? Yes. By the broadest, dullest, least intellectual, surface level, I'm not going to think about anything reading of it. Yes, it keeps his promise. But it does so at unacceptable cost to certain groups of Americans. And it does that because the insurance industry is in the room looking over the shoulders of our legislators and adding in things that they want.
Mm-hmm. Like so many bills that pass through legislation, it's that little note on the bottom. And yes, maybe they in Washington think that this is sustainable now. And this will never work 10, 15, 20 years down the line. When I'm actually ready for Medicaid, I'm not going to have anything because this system, this construction of it, isn't sustainable. It can't hold up.
The one thing that Donald Trump has said on this topic that actually works and actually makes sense is the idea that insurance companies would be allowed to sell across the entire United States on a single policy with a single set of benefits. So you're not doing this state by state, jumping through hoops. Oh, what does this state allow? What does that state allow? And you have a much, much larger pool of patients to spread out the liability. Because that's how insurance works. Okay? You need healthy people paying in so that the sick people can get the benefits that they need. The bigger your pool, the lower your risk, the better you do overall. Now, of course, you could get rid of all of this if you just gave everybody Medicare. And all of these insurance problems go away. The government and the healthcare providers sit down and negotiate what things are worth. You know your costs going in. You know what the government's going to pay. Problem solved. You create a new bureaucracy to do this. You create a new... You may want to call it a tax or a penalty. It's like Social Security. It's like Medicare. You know, you're going to see this come out of your paycheck. But guess what? If everybody in the United States of America is paying into this, it's going to cost less than any kind of private plan that you can get. Guaranteed. How much less? Probably about a third of what you're paying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of paying $1,000 a month, you're paying $300 a month.
And do you think we'll ever get to that point?
We have to get to that point. That is the only way you make this work. Private enterprise in a capitalist system is motivated by profits.
But from what is being laid out on the table right now, I can't see us getting there.
Healthcare is a human right. And there is no way you can get human rights and profit motives
of course,
to
but
coexist.
They don't care about human rights in Washington.
Don't tell any Congress people that, because they'll get all bent out of shape and be like, no, we're all about working families and the poor and the immigrants. Except when they're taking the insurance dollars to screw over the elderly at five times the rate of young Americans.
It's sad, and I honestly don't see it changing with this administration or maybe even the next.
The one thing is if you allowed a company like Aetna or a company like Humana or a company like Tufts Health Plan to sell throughout the United States, what we're going to get down to in 10 years, 20 years, is a situation where there are one or two companies left that sell all the insurance in the United States, and they're in a price war with each other to see who can do the most, who can get the most patients. And at that point, you can just phase one of them out or let them merge and then turn that into your new government administration. That may be the one saving grace.
You really want one healthcare or a merger of two running your...
Because you can't...
Because there's going to be, what, extreme government oversight?
Because you can't...
From all the people that are getting the money from the insurance
company? Because you can't have a monopoly in this country. At that point, you just have the state take it over.
You can. Essentially, you have a monopoly.
No, but you can't, legally. So you just have the state take it over and turn it into Medicare for everybody. I'm giving you a backdoor way to get your single-payer health care system. And the backdoor way that you get your single-payer health care system, let the big companies sell nationwide. Because now you are laying the groundwork, which we don't have right now. We don't have the infrastructure, really, to offer single payer in this country, because we got this ridiculous state-by-state system set up.
Mm-hmm.
These are the problems with it. This legislation is a turd. It is a horse shirt.
I was waiting for that one.
Everybody in Washington, every congressperson who worked on this should be wearing a horse shirt tomorrow. Because that's what they're giving to the American people. And we deserve better. Single payer is the only way to go. Oh, you know who agrees with me? The American Medical Association. I like to trust doctors and not members of Congress when we're talking about health. Maybe HUD Secretary Ben Carson. Ben Carson. Used to be, I work with Ben Carson. Ben Carson used to be a doctor. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Big Picture with Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, and it's time for what's hot, our favorite thing from this week, and everybody's all excited about March Madness. Did you fill out a bracket?
I did.
I did too.
Ask me
who
do
you have winning?
Ask me what my team name is.
What is it?
Fake Blues.
I like it. Who do you have winning?
North Carolina.
I have Gonzaga.
No. Overrated.
Does not
deserve the number one seed, in my opinion. I got Nova and NC.
Nice.
Going into the Big Dance.
So, of course, I'm into food, and this I do every single year because it's really fun to do. If you go to the Boston Globe, they have a thing that they do in lieu of March Madness called Munch Madness. So it puts 64 of local restaurants, so not just in Boston, a couple local ones in Somerville and right near the studio. And every week you vote, and it gets down to who is the supreme restaurant of the Boston, in Boston, right outside.
All right, I like this.
It's really cool.
How are the initial 64 selected is my question. Are there any scrappy young upstarts that...
No, I think it's a mixture of reviews and ratings.
Yeah, so Jacob Worth is going to be on the list, is what you're saying.
And they're not on the list.
What?
No, it's like all the hot restaurants right now.
Jacob Worth is a hot restaurant. Have you tried to get in there on a Friday night? Have you tried to get in there at lunchtime?
Nobody goes there.
Everybody goes there.
Who goes there?
The place is packed all the time.
No, it's not.
It's a German beer hall, for crying out loud.
It is not.
It's the oldest restaurant in Boston.
No. So moving on. Go to Boston Globe and fill out your Munch Madness.
So this is only your hipster, like, trendy stuff.
Well, my restaurant was there.
It's like, of course they are there. How much money does that guy spend? So it's basically like if you're dining in a shipping container that's in the middle of a lawn in Somerville, in a parking lot, that restaurant's on the list.
Yes.
But the oldest restaurant in Boston is not.
That is true.
The Union Oyster House on the list?
No.
Are you going to tell me that nobody goes there?
People do go there. It's a tourist trap.
It's more than a tourist trap.
It's a tourist trap.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. You, your lack of respect for our city's great history is alarming to me. It really is. Stop eating the trendoid food and go check out some staples, is what I'm saying.
No, I eat good food.
You know what they got at Jacob Worth? Women's hockey. You can watch it on the TV. good news. June 3rd, we're getting a cat cafe in Boston.
This is actually coming.
This was a huge...
They've been trying to get this for a really long time.
This was huge on Facebook on Monday. The opening date has been announced for the Purr Cat Cafe, which is going to be at 167 Chestnut Hill Avenue in Brighton. It's going to open on June 3rd. This is official. They got all their licenses. Everything's in place. They're opening on June 3rd. And for $15, you can go in and hang out with some cats. That's what a cat cafe is. There are cats in the cafe, and you get to go and play with the kitties. And everybody likes playing with the kitties.
It's weird and strange.
These things are...
I can do that at home.
They have cat cafes, but if you don't have a cat...
Do they sell that cat wine?
I don't think they're going to... No, I don't think they're getting a liquor license.
Nobody that doesn't have a cat wants to hang out with cats.
That's not true.
No,
That's not true.
That very much is true.
Because there are plenty of cat lovers who don't have cats because their cat has died or run away or...
And they get a new cat.
They just had a breakup.
I do not know one person that does not have a cat that wants to be around cats. The mass opinion about cat is people hate cats.
No, you hate cats. The mass opinion is that cats are the most popular pet in the world. They've surpassed dogs. Now,
I don't hate them anymore.
For $15, you can go hang out with the kitties. If they're going to let 40 people in at a time, more than that stresses out the cats, and so that's not cool.
It's not going to work.
All of the cats are going to be coming from Boston Forgotten Felines, and they will be available for adoption. So if you go in and you fall in love with a cat, you can take the cat home after you sign some paperwork.
Nobody is going to spend $15 to go hang out with cats.
You will be surprised.
I
The Cat Cafes.
Should we make a bet on this now?
Started in Japan. It was huge. This is the second time somebody's...
From a country that, like, idolizes Hello Kitty.
They have them in London. They have them all over Europe. They have them all over the world now.
Nope.
People like Cat Cafes.
No, they do not.
They do. People like cats.
Derek, please prove me wrong.
I will prove you wrong.
I would love to make a wager on this and see how long it stays in business.
Per Cat Cafe has a Facebook page. Go check out their Facebook page. See how many likes they've got. They're giving away a chance to hang out with the cats in the near future.
Cat people are crazy.
No, cat people are not crazy. There are a lot of people who live in apartments who can't have cats who love them, especially in Boston. So if you're looking to adopt, you can go to the Cat Cafe. If you're looking just, if you can't have a cat and you like to hang around with them, you can go to the Cat Cafe. Personally, I think in addition to the cats, they should have pastries full of gluten and open bowls of peanuts, and they should just call it the allergy store.
There you go.
That, I think, is what Boston needs.
All's called my worst nightmare.
See, if I'd been tighter on that, on the music, that would have been a good stinger. That's how it goes.
And we end this show every week. That's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. We got a local story. Local Target stores are selling a t-shirt called Boston Local Pride Hoods Tee. Undoubtedly hoping you'll want to show off your city love and apparel, covered by a map of Boston's neighborhoods. There's just one problem. The t-shirt is riddled with errors. On the tee's navy blue map, Jamaica Plain is spelled Jamaica Plain. Southie is spelled, and you know you don't ever do this, with a Y instead of Southie with an IE. There's a new super neighborhood called Central, or what used to be Boston Hill, Beacon Hill, Chinatown, North End, and Downtown, and the West End. So now it's called Central.
Nice.
There's actually no line between where it says Charlestown in Central, so it could be Charlestown Central. They're on the website and at the Fenway location. You can buy the shirt for $14.99. Yeah, you might want to think about that.
Don't wear that to Southie for the St. Patrick's Day Parade this weekend, or you are getting your butt kicked. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, Jessica Carlson, spokeswoman for Target, told Boston.com that the company would be discontinuing the shirts. Yeah. We are pulling that t-shirt from our assortment. We apologize for any disappointment this may have
I'd
caused.
Like to know who designed that, who approved that, and why nobody bothered to look at a map.
Boston Central.
And while we're at it, we'll talk about this later when we're in Central. Will somebody please tell me why I can't get a hoodie with the MBTA map on it? Because I'd really like to have that.
Yeah.
Or even a hoodie that's just like orange line or red line or any. I'd buy that stuff. Market yourselves, MBTA. Japan. Originators of the Cat Cafe. Do you like pancakes? Do you like pancakes so much that you want to feel like one? Good news. A resort in Kanagawa Prefecture is celebrating the 60th anniversary of Morinaga Pancake Mix with themed hotcake baths. You and a dozen friends can luxuriate in the brown water, colored to look like maple syrup, while a pile of simulated pancakes hover overhead. Three times a day, actual maple syrup is added to the bath, so you'll come out smelling like breakfast and possibly a little sticky. Not a pancake fan? The Kanagawa Resort offers other novelty baths to try, including red wine and coffee.
Sign me up for the red wine.
This is outdoors. You're wearing clothes. You're not like, or you're wearing a swimsuit. You're not like sitting naked in a
wine
puddle of maple
you
syrup.
Get stained.
Pancake baths.
Sure.
Leave it to our friends in Japan to come up with the pancake bath. China, I believe, is going to have a cheap knockoff of the pancake bath available by sometime next week. And we will be back next week. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary on the town. Mikey D is coming up right now. Until next time, stay safe, everybody.